Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. I want to talk to you about five takeaways during a season of your life when you're waiting. Five takeaways during a season of waiting. I know yesterday I shared about four benefits of waiting, but I also want to share some takeaways during a season of waiting in your life, because the reason I'm doing two programs because I just think there's so many things that we can learn while we're waiting. And I think if we're honest, we do a lot of waiting. I mean, you know, I heard my friend Dave Kibler talk about, he posted on social media back on Easter weekend that, you know, Friday, just all that went on and just the tragedy of, you know, seeing Jesus crucified and just the pain, the heartache, the disappointment. Then on Sunday, you've got the excitement because he was resurrected. The tomb was empty and Jesus was alive. But he said, I found that most of our lives is in the Saturday part. Just the waiting, just the normal life, you know, of doing life, just kind of day in and day out. We have those really painful moments, like on Friday with Jesus' death and crucifixion on a cross, and those times where life's extremely painful and disappointing and discouraging, and heartache is just overbearing at times. But then we also have those mountaintop experiences, the excitement of Jesus and the tomb being empty. But friends, I think if we're honest, most of us, our life is just kind of in the mundane, as my friend Tommy Lanham likes to talk about. We have to be careful about getting caught up in the mundane, or the mundanians, I think he may call it. Looking forward to, Tommy's going to have a conference here in Lexington on the weekend. I believe it's going to be of the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and you'll be hearing more about that coming up. We're going to have him as a guest on May, and man, you don't want to miss out on this weekend event that he's going to have. We'll be telling you more details about that. TommyLanham.com. If you are like me, you don't like waiting, you don't want to wait to hear about that, you go to TommyLanham.com. It's LANHAM.com. Tommy Lanham, TOMMY. Just kind of like it sounds, but I do want to share with you five takeaways during a season of waiting. The first thing is, a waiting season is not an inactive season. I'll say that again. I know some of you like to take notes. First takeaway during a season of waiting is, a waiting season in life is not an inactive season. I touched base on that a little bit in yesterday's program about the four benefits of waiting, but it's so powerful. I want to list that as the first takeaway because, you know, I mean, think about Jesus, great role model here for us. He did not start his ministry till he was 30. And, you know, I mean, obviously, Jesus was the Son of God. He knew the scriptures inside out and was doing, you know, going to the temple and just learning. They were amazed at how his knowledge and things. But I think God was very intentional. He didn't start till 30 because he got to live a lot of the life experiences that you and I do. And I think about all the life that I lived up to the age of 30 and how much I learned through all those life experiences. And yet, Jesus only had 3 years of ministry. First one he did mainly by himself. Then about the end of the first year, then he called the 12 disciples and built his team. But he waited till his age of 30. But it wasn't an inactive season leading up to those 30 years. You can believe that. You know, sometimes I've learned, friends, it's not about more information. It's about application in our lives, which will then lead to transformation. You know, sometimes, I guess to put that in a spiritual context, it's not about another Bible study. Like, oh, I just need another Bible study, and then, you know, my life will be so much better and God will speak to me. You know, friends, sometimes I've learned it's not about more information about God. It's about just applying what we've already learned. And when we do that, I've found quite often it'll lead to transformation. And to me, that's what really being a follower of Jesus is about, friends. So I want to say that one more time. Sometimes it's not about more information. It's about application, which leads to transformation. And you've heard me talk about this quite often, but you know, you got to get that vertical relationship right first. And then it's amazing how all those horizontal relationships go so much better. Doesn't always mean our circumstances change, but those relationships will go better, and most of all, we'll handle things better. That quote came from Paul David Tripp. You know, he's one of my favorites, and heard him say that in his wonderful devotional book called New Morning Mercies. If you're looking for a devotional, if you're a mature follower of Jesus and you want to grow in your faith, highly recommend it. That mentor and good friend Greg Williams used to say that to me quite often too. Greg, just make sure that vertical relationship is always a priority, because that'll help your horizontal relationships, the ones that are around you day in and day out, help you to love others like Jesus loves you. A second takeaway during a season of waiting is just do the next right thing. Just do the next right thing. Sometimes we get that paralysis by analysis, but no, friends, we need to just do the next right thing. I get asked that quite often. You know, Greg, what do I do while I'm in the season of waiting? And I just say, simply just do the next right thing. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 in the Old Testament of the Bible says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Sometimes, friends, just simply being obedient, doing the next right thing. God's not looking for some tremendous sacrifice. He's looking for you to be obedient in the small things, the simple things. I love this quote. I'm not sure who said it, but it says, be obedient with one small step, and God will give you the next step and the next step. It's amazing how that works, friends. I've seen it play out my life over and over again. Just be obedient with one small step, and then just God will show you what to do next and give you the next step and the next step. Henry Blackaby, one of my heroes of the faith, who wrote that wonderful Bible study, Experiencing God, said, the truth is that God can do anything that he pleases through an ordinary person who is fully dedicated to him. We'll say that one more time. The truth is that God can do anything he pleases through an ordinary person who is fully dedicated to him. So friends, do that next right thing. Be obedient. Show the Lord that you're dedicated to him, especially when you're in this season of waiting. And you'll be amazing what he'll do both in you and through you. A third takeaway when we're in a season of waiting in our lives, sometimes God is working in someone else's life or situation before he moves you to the next step. You know, friends, I don't know, you know, John chapter 5, verse 17 just echoes this so well. It says, Jesus said, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. You know, sometimes when I've been in a season of waiting, I can't understand why God won't answer my prayer. And then a few months later, he does. And then I have that aha moment when I realize, aha, that's why you were doing that, God. That's why I had to wait, because you were waiting for somebody else, something to happen in their life first. So just be encouraged by that today, friends, if you're in a season of waiting. Maybe part of the reason that you're having to wait, okay, is because God is working somebody else's life until he finishes what he needs to do through their life and in their life. He can't move in your life. But know today, friends, that God is faithful. A third takeaway during a season of waiting is, let me review the first three. Number one is a waiting season is not an inactive season. Number two, just do the next right thing. Number three, sometimes God is working in someone else's life or situation before he moves us or you to the next step. And the fourth takeaway during a season of waiting is, don't play the compare game. Run or walk the race that God has for your one and only life. One of my favorite things, friends, you know, I share about this quite a bit. We can get real trouble when we play that compare game. One of two things happens. If whatever measuring stick we're using to compare our life to somebody else's, if we quote-unquote seem to be doing better than they are and whatever that area it is, that sometimes pride sets in, okay? Or if whatever measuring stick we're using to measure and compare our life to somebody else and we're not doing as well, then some self-pity can set in. And friends, the fact of the matter, pride or self-pity, neither one of those are God-honoring. They are not God-honoring at all. And yet, I've been guilty of playing the compare game, and I really, really think I've grown in that area, but I still can be guilty of playing the compare game. And as much as I try to be a humble servant of God, friends, even as a person that's executive director of a nonprofit, a wonderful ministry like Hope Is Here, person that's pastor of a church, I have to be careful about playing the compare game. I can be guilty of getting in my flesh too. And I want to remind you to be really, really careful of that. And John chapter 3, verse 30 is a verse that reminds me of that so often. It simply says in John chapter 3, verse 30, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And that is so, so true, friends. I love that quote by former President Theodore Roosevelt. He said, comparison is the thief of joy. That is so good. Comparison is the thief of joy. And that's true, friends. I've seen my life when I play that compare game. And as I've already shared earlier, I've been guilty of that. It's a thief of joy. It will steal your joy. Steal your joy. And the enemy knows what to do. And I think it's a daily choice to not play the compare game. All right, the fifth and final thing, I think a takeaway during a season of waiting is God's Word does not have an expiration date. Okay? I love that. And we can get guilty of being too busy, friends, and not spending time with the Lord and standing on His promises, which over 2,000 years, tells us in God's Word, Jesus said, my Word will not return void. And I am a testimony to that. And I know many, many others of you can testify about that. Of course, we know the old saying, you want to have a testimony, right? I think all of us do. Well, simple fact of the matter is, you can't have a testimony without going through a test, right? And yet, I know a lot of you have completed tests with flying colors. And you can use that for God's glory. Yet you've also, like me, maybe had some failures and disappointments where you disappointed God, you disappointed yourself. And yet, friends, I'm thankful to know in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. And yeah, I say God's Word does not have an expiration date. Well, I say that because I used to have my grocery store, had over 20,000 products, but especially in the perishable section, like the dairy and produce, we had to check for expiration dates. And, I tell you, you could have over 20,000 items that were in date, but if somebody found one item, one item, they come to you and say, hey, I don't know if you know this is expired, then it causes doubt with other items in your store. And yet, I want to remind you, friends, you don't have to ever worry about God's Word expiring. And one of my go-to verses when I've been discouraged, especially in a season of waiting, is Galatians chapter 6, 9. And I close today with this powerful verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So friends, I believe one of Satan's greatest tools is discouragement. But stand on that promise today in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So friends, I hope you've been blessed by this program today, 5 takeaways during a season of waiting. If you've been blessed by it, I hope you'll share it with somebody else. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.